भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 23. So we're going to read Text 9 and 10. Text 9 has no purport, so we will chant Text 10 together. I'll just read translation to Text 9. So this is the chapter entitled, The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. Text 9. The Supreme Personality of God had said, My dear son Prahlad, all good fortune unto you. For the time being, please go to the place known as Sutala and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. This is text 10. Nityam drashta asi mam tatra gadapanim avastinam maddarsana maha alada dvasta karma nibandana nityam drastasi mam tatra gadapanim avastitam maddarsana mahalada Dvasta karma nibandana Nityam drastasi mam tatra Gadapanim avastitam Maddarsana mahalada Dvasta karma nibandana Mataji's, please. Nityam, constantly. Drashta, the seer. Asi, you shall be. Mam, unto me. Tatra, there in Sutala Loka. Gadapanim, with a club in my hand. Avastitam, situated there. Maddarshana, by seeing me in that form. Mahaalada, by the great transcendental bliss. Dvashta, having been vanquished. Karma Nibandana, the bondage of fruitive activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, you shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. Purport. Karma Bandha, the bondage of fruitive activities, entails the repetition of birth and death. One performs fruitive activities in such a way that he creates another body for his next life. As long as one is attached to fruitive activities, he must accept another material body. This repeated acceptance of material bodies is called samsara bandhana. To stop this, a devotee is advised to see the Supreme Lord constantly. The Kanishtha Adhikari or neophyte devotee is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. Thus the neophyte devotee can be freed from the bondage of fruitive activities. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namane Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram. So in this purport, Prabhupada is giving a very powerful process how to become free from this karma bandhana, samsara bandhana. Seeing the deities every day. So by Prabhupada's mercy, like all of us here, we get to live here and see the deities every day. Sometimes we take this for granted and then we forget, you know, how blessed we are to have this opportunity. And then usually when we forget and we become ungrateful, then, you know, Krishna removes us, sends us to Siberia or something. Like you got to go away from this blessed situation. So it's very important to be always thankful and grateful for this opportunity of seeing Krishna every day. And as we can see, this is nothing new or imagination. Like sometimes Prabhupada would say, there's a group of people, they say, oh, you know, God is everywhere, so I don't have to go to the temple. Then Prabhupada would say to them, God is everywhere, then He's also in the temple. God is everywhere except in the temple, Prabhupada would ask them. He's also in the temple, so why not take advantage? And to say that God is everywhere, so I don't have to go to the temple, that's actually a very advanced stage. Unless you're on this platform that Brahma is talking about, like Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. That you're so advanced that your eyes are anointed with love of God, that you're seeing Krishna every moment, everywhere. Unless we are so advanced, we cannot say that, you know, God is everywhere, I don't have to see Him in the temple. So this culture of temple worship, creating temples and deity worship, is like millions of years old and is very scientific. Especially in India, the acharyas have established so many temples, hundreds and thousands of temples. Just in Vrindavan alone, there's 5,000 temples. And the elaborate deity worship has been established. It's amazing. Any part of India you go to, north, south, east, west, is some really famous temple. Like for example, in Kerala, there is this Guruvayur, this place Guruvayur, and the deity is called Guruvayurappan, the lord of Guruvayur, the father of Guruvayur. And personalities like Kulashekar worship there. And this temple is so amazing. And the deity worship was so elaborate that they would use elephants for procession. And they would have like hundreds of elephants, property of the temple, to engage in Lord's service. But things are becoming difficult now in Kali Yuga. They have this tradition where, like, you know, an ordinary person, if he's having some difficulty in life, he'll pray to Krishna that, you know, if this goes away, this situation gets better, then I will offer you an elephant. So recently, somebody wanted to offer an elephant, and then the temple management didn't want to accept it. Because, you know, it's not easy to maintain an elephant. And then the guy took the management to the court, and he won the court case, saying this is the tradition for so many thousands of years, and how could they stop it all of a sudden? But only the management can understand, it's not easy, somebody's donating an elephant, who wants to deal with that, especially in Kali Yuga where, you know, things have become so expensive. And, you know, things like this, you know, elaborate deity worship has been established by the acharyas. When I visited Jagannath Puri, one of the pandas, he told me how when people used to build houses in Jagannath Puri, they will never build a kitchen. There was no question of building a kitchen. Because Jagannath, as we know, he gets so many offerings, like 56 offerings a day. And all the prasadam, it comes to this place in between the temple, this huge temple. And they have this courtyard, and all the maha comes there for sale. And this place is called Ananda Bazaar. Appropriate name. So everybody goes there, and then, you know, you pay like few rupees, and you get, you know, such wonderful prasadam, personally honored, eaten by Jagannath. And there's so many festivities all the time. There was no need of like television or cricket or any of these things. Everybody was so absorbed in temple activities and pastimes of Jagannath and prasadam and kirtan and ratayatra and snanyatra and all kinds of festivities. So this was going on for thousands of years. So there was no need for kitchen. Everybody was working around the temple schedule, basically completely absorbed in deity worship. Like Prabhupada would say, deity is not an ordinary stone. This is Krishna. And the way we treat Krishna, then He either appears as a stone to us, or He can personally appear and speak to us even, Prabhupada would say. Like I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastimes of Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit was very, very, very special. His standard of deity worship is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's explained that even though Raghava Pandit had farm and he had like coconut trees and he had hundreds and hundreds of coconuts, he would consider his coconuts to be not of good quality. So he would go far away to this place where he would get these special coconuts, which are large in size, and he would pay actually extra money for them and like that. And not only coconut, he would actually bring all kinds of things like mangoes and jackfruits and banana and like this. And he would carefully prepare them for offering. One time the coconut that was clipped and it was about to be offered to the Lord, to the deity, and the servant, the pujari, accidentally touched the coconut to the door, entrance door. And Raghava Pandit said it's not offerable because so many guests are coming and all their foot dust are settled in the doors, and you touch the coconut, it becomes unofferable. So this way he would serve the Lord with very high standard, very high quality. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased actually to see the standard of Raghava Pandit. Of course, we know the pastime of his sister, who would make all these snacks for Lord Chaitanya and send them to Jagannath Puri for Lord to honor. So they were very conscious how Krishna is a person. Same thing, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, who was actually the grandfather spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master was Ishwara Puri, and Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri. And he was such an exalted devotee that one time Madhavendra Puri was just chanting, and he was, you know, fasting, and he was absorbed in Krishna in this place called Govinda Kund, near Govardhan. And this little cowherd boy actually appeared to Madhavendra Puri and said, you know, take this pot of milk, and because nobody fasts in my village. Either people go like Madhukari begging, or, you know, they ask for some milk, or if somebody fasts, then I make sure they get something. And then Madhavendra Puri asked this little boy, how do you know I'm even fasting? So, oh, this local cowherd woman, they were watching you, you're not eating anything, so take this. So Madhavendra Puri took the milk and took rest. And in the dream, the same boy that gave milk appeared and said, you know, my name is Gopal. And I was actually wondering when you would come to this neighborhood. You're such an exalted devotee. I was waiting for you to appear in this neighborhood. Because Madhavendra Puri was so ecstatic. It said that even when he sees a dark rain cloud, you start like wailing, start crying in separation from Krishna to see the color of the rain cloud. You would remember Krishna. When we see the rain cloud, we check the app to see if it doesn't rain. But Madhavendra Puri was different consciousness, and Krishna was so pleased with him that Krishna was waiting for him to appear. And then Krishna told him, Gopal told him, you know, I'm actually buried in this ground here for a long time and I'm feeling really hot. Can you like excavate me and, you know, give me abhishek, and can you take care of me like this? And when Madhavendra Puri woke up from the dream, he went to check with some of the villagers, and sure enough, the deity was there. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how amazing was this deity, you can say reinstallation and abhishek and prasadam distribution, and they were building throne and temple. And when the villagers, neighboring villagers, found out that this is going on, they were all begging. So village after village was on waiting list to perform the same ceremony for Gopal. It was incredible, all the details mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the deity was bathed, what he was offered, what clothes, what throne, what jewelry. And then again, Madhavendra Puri took rest. Again, Gopal appeared and said, you know, I'm still feeling hot. I want you to go to Bengal and get me some sandalwood. Special sandalwood and camphor to cool me off. So Madhavendra Puri, you know, being an exalted devotee and also direct instruction from the Lord, he went. He went, and then when he went to this place, Remuna, there was this, he went to this temple of Gopinath. And Madhavendra Puri asked, what's so special about the offering in your temple? And the priest explained, you know, we offer this special kheer to the Lord, and it's as good as nectar, just like amrita. So Madhavendra Puri was thinking, you know, I would love to taste some of this kheer, because when I go back, I want to make the same preparation for Gopal. But Madhavendra Puri, out of humility and shyness, he didn't ask anyone for the kheer. He just thought like that. Then, you know, being an amazing devotee, he regretted even the thought. He said, oh my God, I'm so lusty, I'm so sinful. Even before the Lord ate, I was desiring to taste the sweet rice. So he went away to a marketplace and he was fasting again for this offense, what he considered offense. But in the middle of the night, Gopinath Didi woke up the priest and said, you know, there is this exalted person, Madhavendra Puri Goswami. He wanted to taste the sweet rice, so I've secretly hid it behind the screen. So you take that, you go find him and you give him the sweet rice. So the priest woke up and he saw this, and sure enough, the sweet rice was there. So he went to the marketplace and he was calling. Oh, who is here, Madhavendra Puri? You're the most fortunate, most fortunate. Gopinath has personally, you know, stolen this kheer for you. That's why is in the temple in Remuna, the deity is called Kheer Chor Gopinath. Kheer is this preparation, and Chor means one who stole. And Madhavendra Puri was very humbled and embarrassed that Krishna has gone out of his way to do this, so he accepted the kheer, and it's mentioned that He broke the pot in many pieces and he kept it in his bag, and every day he would eat a small portion of that clay pot just to appreciate Krishna's mercy. And then he went, Madhavendra Puri went and got the sandalwood pulp and camphor, and there were so many taxes and he had to carry all this heavy load. And again Gopal appeared in the dream and said, you know, you don't have to carry it all the way back to Govardhan. Just give it to Gopinath Didi. There's no difference between you, me and him. So again, you know, Madhavendra Puri followed the instruction. Very, very exalted devotee. And we can see, you know, the deity, this deity seva, he was like very serious about it. So much so that, you know, the Lord was reciprocating. There is so many instances. There was one time, Ramanujacharya, he was speaking to a group of disciples in Sri Rangam. And Ramanujacharya said, I'm very concerned about this Tirupati Balaji temple. It's become like forest, it's become like jungle full of wild animals, and I want to have a nice garden and worship there. So, does anybody would like to go there? You know, naturally everybody is thinking, you know, here is our Guru Maharaj and he's speaking every day. There's festivities and this prasadam, mahaprasadam, God brothers. So everybody was hesitating. Except for one devotee, his name was Anantacharya. He said, I will go there and do this service. So Anantacharya went, and he went with his wife. It's explained that, you know, the wife was actually fully pregnant. And he went, and the wife was helping him, and he was creating the garden. So much so, Balaji was coming in disguise to help with the gardening and stuff. And Anantacharya would protest, you know, all we have is the service to our guru. I don't know who you are, why are you bothering us? Just like, leave us alone, we are fine, you know. Again and again, Balaji would secretly come and help the pregnant wife to, you know, dig the mud and plant and, you know, so on and so forth. And Anantacharya created this really, really beautiful garden and temple, cleaned the temple and created a very beautiful atmosphere. And then he actually sent an invitation to Guru Maharaj. He said, please come and take darshan. And then Ramanujacharya starts kneeling down and crawling. I mean, nowadays, in bus, it takes like about 2 hours to go from downhill to the top of the hill where Balaji resides. Imagine, back in the day in the forest, you have to walk. How long it takes? It takes days and days. And Ramanujacharya started crawling. And then Anantacharya came and said, Guru Maharaj, why are you doing this? He said, oh, because, you know, this hill is non-different from Anantasesh. It's Balaram. I can't step on. I can't walk. Anantacharya said, you know, if you don't walk, whatever example you set, people are going to follow. And if you don't walk, people are going to be lazy to crawl, and nobody is going to come see the deity. So you might as well please walk and come see the Lord. So many amazing pastimes. Anyways, Ramanujacharya went, had darshan, got prasadam, came back. As soon as he came down, he wanted to have breakfast and prasadam with all the disciples. And as soon as they opened the lunch box, Ramanujacharya said, let's go back. And nobody can understand. We just, you know, so much yagya, you know, exhausted. Now he wants to go back. Because there were some ants in the rice, in the tamarind rice. And he said, these are actually damvasis. We have no right to take him out of the dam. So he wanted to walk all the way back to release them. So you can see how conscious the exalted devotees are. Like Prabhupada said, you know, first become conscious and then you can become Krishna conscious. Most of the time we're doing things but like unconscious. Our mind is somewhere else. We're always racing for the next thing, next hour, next day, next week. But the devotee is aware that any service to Krishna is non-different from being with Krishna. So forgotten all these amazing things, like Prabhupada explains, we have taken to this hard labor of fruitive activities. We have forgotten Krishna and then we are trying to find some kind of happiness in the hard labor. But when we're working separate from Krishna, trying to enjoy separate from Krishna, we only become morose. We only become unhappy. It's like a person, Bhagavatam gives the example of a person that lost wealth. All of us have some kind of experience. Nobody likes to lose things. Once you lose something valuable, it really bothers. I know one new couple. When I was in New Zealand, there was this new couple, they were coming along. And the person just started chanting Hare Krishna and he was a cab driver. So anyways, he just bought a new cab and he was chanting Hare Krishna. And then he fell asleep on the wheel because he was driving at night and he ran over somebody's fence and went inside the house and crashed the car and crashed their garage and it was a lot of loss. The car was like totaled and they had to pay a lot of money to fix the house. And then he wouldn't come to the temple anymore. So I saw him in the street one time. So what happened? Oh, I don't understand why God did this to me. I was just chanting his names, and then this happens. I was fine before chanting the names of Krishna, but then I started chanting, this happened. I was thinking, I didn't say it to him because he was very emotional, but I was just thinking, you know, how when something goes nice, we never think, oh, God did this. As soon as something goes wrong, we want to blame Krishna. Anyways, to see him, I could really see this example of, you know, somebody lost the wealth. And he was really miserable, like very unhappy. So Bhagavatam says, we have lost this rare jewel of Krishna consciousness, therefore we are morose. And instead of the diamond, we are grabbing, we are trying to reach out to some broken glass, thinking that will satisfy us. But broken glass only cuts the fingers, and then we start bleeding. That's all. There's no value to it. So that's the nature of the material world. Everybody is grabbing onto this broken glass. It's mentioned that Prabhupada was even afraid to come to this world, to this material world. In his conversation with Krishna, Prabhupada said, I don't want to go to that horrible place where everybody is forgetful of you. Even exalted devotees are afraid and careful about this place. Because Maya is not an educational department. You know, Maya's business is not to like bring us to Krishna consciousness. Her department is like correctional department. She punishes us severely, and then eventually we come to Krishna. So Prabhupada explains, nobody should be engaged in this hard labor of fruitive work, as he mentions in this purport. And we can see this mentality even in the heavenly planets. Even in the heavenly planets, like Sukracharya was really concerned, okay, you know, this is my disciple and he gives away everything. How will I maintain myself? How will he maintain himself? So he was very concerned with this fruitive mentality. And the real business of a superior is to free us from this mentality of fruitive activities. This is the real position of a superior. Like one time Prabhupada, when he met with George Harrison, Prabhupada said to him immediately, you know, you're so famous now as Beatles and George Harrison, but what's going to be your future? That you don't know. That you do not know. And it's very risky, Prabhupada told him. And there was a brahmachari there. And the brahmachari was immediately like, wanted to surrender to Prabhupada. Because he could see, you know, Prabhupada, here is a person, practically speaking, they themselves said, we are more popular than Jesus Christ. Here's a person that everybody is like fainting at the sight, and Prabhupada is chastising him at the sight. And he's saying, we don't know what you're going to be in your next life, why don't you become serious about Krishna consciousness? So this brahmachari was thinking, my God, you know, this is a real spiritual master, because he's not, you know, impressed with this opulence and fame and like this, you know. So this is a real position of a superior, of an authority. Otherwise, that person shouldn't take the role of an authority. Like we can see in this pastime, Guru na sasya. Bhagavatam says, don't become a guru. And because Sukracharya was not being a real guru, Bali Maharaj rejected him. And there's so many examples. And also it says, Prahlad Maharaj, who the Lord himself is glorifying and giving darshan, Prahlad Maharaj also rejected his father. Pitrina Sasyat. Don't become a father, Bhagavatam said. And Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father because he was not being his spiritual master. Svajano nasasyat. It says even if it's your brother or sister, if they're not Krishna conscious, like for example Vibhishan, he rejected his brother Ravana. And if it's your mother, like Bharat Maharaj, Bharat, the brother of Ram, he rejected Kaikeyi because she was not being a real mother. She was evil in the bad association. So many examples are given. But the whole point of Srimad Bhagavatam is Dharma Projita Kaitavatra, that trying to free us from this anarthas that we have. Because according to whatever we value in life, according to Bhagavatam, is simply a disturbance in the path of devotional progress. It's like when Raghunath Das Goswami escaped all this material wealth and went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told him, "Oh, it's only Krishna's mercy you were able to escape all this stool-like opulence." He was a billionaire to this today's calculation, but Lord Chaitanya said, in the village terms, your father and uncle, or my uncle, so I can speak like this, he said, they're like two worms in a stool. You take them out by their free will, they'll only crawl back into it. So they're so attached to this material wealth, and it's only by Krishna's mercy you were able to get out of that. Mahaprabhu was very heavy, confidentially speaking. So Prabhupada said, this deity worship is so powerful, but along with Sravanam and Kirtanam. Prabhupada said, if we don't have this sadhana of hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, we don't make time, we're not attentive, then Prabhupada said, then the day will come where you will think, oh, why is my guru giving me a burden? This deity worship has become a heavy burden in my neck. So if you're not Krishna conscious, if you don't have proper sadhana, then we will see it as a disturbance, this beautiful deity worship. And also distributing this Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada wanted it like anything. The acharyas give example that hearing and chanting is wonderful, but when you distribute it, our spiritual life become very enlivened. Like the acharyas give the example, sometimes in relationship, you know, after a while, the husband and wife, you know, like the initial romance is gone, and then, you know, and then they hit a platform where it's like, okay, you know, now what? And then when they have a child, that brings, you know, enlivenment to the family. Similarly, the acharyas explain that after a while, you know, we have everything wonderful, but then if we don't preach and we don't bring new people to Krishna consciousness, there's no juice. Everything becomes dry. So therefore, practicing Krishna consciousness and also distributing Krishna consciousness. It says we need superiors and juniors to make spiritual advancement. Because we learn from superiors how to practice Krishna consciousness, and we need juniors because they force us to set example. When newcomers are there, even though we don't like to, we have to behave in a certain way. So that's also very important for spiritual life. So very beautiful purport and pastimes. Anybody have any questions or comments? Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.